What's new, fuckers?
You're supposed to do an intro.
I was getting it all set up so it's like full screen and everything, and then I was gonna do my intro. So,
okay.
But you know what, man? Whatever. Howdy, y'all, motherfuckers! Welcome to the Terms of Engagement. I ain't gonna go through roll call this time because 8 episodes in, damn sure I ought to know who we are by now. And hopefully, this one's better than the last one. I'm not gonna say that we're doing an awful job. Because we're, you know, improvement. We got two dads in here now. We're about to whip this bitch into shape.
Wait. You thought the last episode was bad? I thought it was really good.
I mean, all episodes that we do are bad, but...
Yeah, dude. Yeah. We cater to a certain demographic, and you know, just because it's bad doesn't, like, I don't know, I had this conversation with Nick, like, just because I don't like a thing doesn't mean it's bad. Like, you can, but also just because I do like something doesn't make it not bad. So it's all personal taste, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
taste is subjective.
Yeah.
We
cater to a certain dimadang, dimadone demographic.
Yeah, dude. Absolutely. The people that are coming around looking for those double dong jokes, and you know that fits a very, very particular category.
Well, to be fair, in the last episode, we pretty much hit all the high notes. We talked about butthole suction. I'm pretty sure there was some dick talk. We talked about like sucking the meat off of bones for like wings and shit.
Yep.
There's an allusion to it.
Got a bit dark.
We were talking about Rezzy's butthole tattoo, methamphetamine dealers, and the sexual tension between Mur and Rez. So I feel like we hit all the high notes. We basically satisfied the entire Dimadang Dimadone demographic.
Yep, 100%. We do what we do, and we do good at what we do, but it doesn't make it... I don't think I'm the one to judge whether or not it's good or bad.
I have a great time listening to them.
I enjoy listening to them.
Let's see here real quick. Let's look at some numbers right quick, right? Because I believe... So we're at 35 subscribers. So that's, you know,
that's one 35. More than
34. That is one more... than 34. We've got 133 views in the last 28 days. and that's, I think, more than any of us get combined on stream whenever we go live.
What are you talking about, bro? Let me pull up my VODs, bro, from the last 2 months of total activity.
Hey. Mario Kart last night popped the fuck off.
All right. I'm not saying it didn't pop off. I'm just saying, I think typically we average around like high notes for us. A high note for me is like 17 to 19 people when I stream. So in one stream, not watching my VODs, anything like that, in one active stream, 17 to 19 people. Nick and Mur, I'd say low to mid 20s.
You're being very generous, my friend.
I'm saying a high note for you guys.
Rezzy, like 5.
Rezzy, I mean, I've seen you with up to like 16 people in chat, but that was when you streamed more than once every 2 weeks.
Yeah. That was a while ago. High note for me is around in that 14 range, really. That's a high note for me.
Okay. So, yeah. So, between the four of us combined together on a good night of streaming, we've gotten more views in the last 28 days here than we would normally get on Twitch. So we're doing something right. We're hitting something. We're striking a chord with the right crowd.
Nope.
You know what I mean? But like I said, we got two daddies here now. So we're gonna... Yeah.
Wait, who's the other dad? Hold on.
Me.
Did I do something?
I did.
Oh, okay.
I did something.
I did it. Yeah, directly after we Todd, I'm gonna be honest, dude. You threw me with the analytics, dude. You completely threw me. I did not know we were gonna go into analytics on podcast. So you just you just threw me off,
dude. I feel like Stephen A. and Max Kellerman right here, like, getting into Jesus the numbers, Christ,
dude. Like, what are our views per game? What's our VPG?
If you are one of those viewers, I love you and I'll kiss you on the mouth, by the way. Like,
I mean, I'm just saying my last spot had 81 views. You guys can suck it. But directly after we got done recording the best podcast ever, we had a new member join the Bastard family. My daughter came into the world. It was pretty sick. My wife FaceTimed me and was like, "Hey, I think my water just broke." And I was like, "Oh fuck!" And then Todd literally like got right back on at that moment. And I was like, "Bro, I gotta go." He was like, "What's going on?" I was like, "Hannah's water just broke."
That was such a crazy time, dude.
Wait, like she FaceTimed you like from across the house and was like,
"She was in the bathroom. Her water had broken."
I don't know this process. Like, I understand. Does it like hinder all movement?
When you piss yourself, do you walk across a house or do you go straight to the bathroom?
I mean, my first instinct isn't to like, I don't know. Like, but you said she was already in the bathroom.
No, she FaceTimed me from the bathroom.
Okay.
Her water broke. She went to the bathroom and then FaceTimed me and was like, "I think my water just broke." Because she can't scream across the house when I have headphones on. But anyway,
it's also
this
not
fucking
a,
guy.
Like,
were you like in the middle of a match like or something?
I mean, I was playing a game of Magic the Gathering Arena, and I don't know if you guys know this about me, but I don't concede. I will get the shit beat out of me on Magic the Gathering Arena before I fucking quit a game early. I was like, "Good game," and left the game. Like, I was beating this motherfucker too, bro. I had like 48 life. I was fucking wrecking his shit. And he was probably like, "What? Why did he do that?" And then we went to the hospital, and it was pretty cool. We stayed there for a couple of days. It was great. It was a good time. Hot take. Fatherhood sucks dick. But
did you get your celebratory baby was born dinner from the hospital?
No. I mean, they gave Hannah food, but they didn't give me food. I had to order food.
Really? So we had to order food. When we went, we ordered food, right? And I was, their food, normally, like, the hospitals out here in Arizona usually have, like, pretty good food. And then I guess we just went to a shitty hospital. But, like, I ordered food off of this menu for breakfast the first day that we were there. And it was, like, I ordered an omelet, and they gave me a breakfast burrito. And I was like, it's not the same thing! They're different!
But hold on, are you judging hospitals based on their cafeteria? Like, this is a bad hospital. Don't go there.
The hospital was great. Their food was fucking awesome.
How many Arizona hospitals have you gone to like review these things like Gordon Ramsay?
Yo, today we're stopping at Main Street Hospital, and we're about to go see what's up with these taquitos. I'm fucking ready.
My ex-wife had 3 family members pass away in the time that I was with her. And we spent a lot of time visiting those family members. And I got very well acquainted with the cafeterias at all 3 of those hospitals. And they were delicious. Like, one of them had like tastes of the world. And you walk into the cafeteria and they have different like restaurants for like all the different like foods of different national origins. So you could go and you could get like fucking crepes and shit from France, and then across the fucking cafeteria there's like pizza from Italy, and then
so I have a question.
Fucking
dude, yeah. You said you were visiting these relatives because they were dying.
Yeah.
And the place had tastes of the world. So I guess the only thing they didn't have was the spice of life. I get it.
You're coming right along.
I'm just laughing at the fact of like how elegant this this like hospital cafeteria is to like distract you from the fact that like yeah you got dying family.
It was a couple floors up. Family dog. I was wasn't happy since before we got married with her. I mean, let's be real. Like,
let me hang out in the cafeteria because I'm not trying to support you emotionally.
Well, also, most of them didn't speak English, so I was just in the room, kind of, like, I could understand.
I just learned a lot about Todd,
but I was like...
Todd be the guy to be like, I need to plug my phone in. And just yank the plug.
That's awful, dude.
No, it was just the families were all talking to each other in Spanish and everything, and then they'd be like, they'd look at me like I'm supposed to add something to this. I'm like, I've got no fucking clue what you guys have been saying. Like, I don't... Like, I can understand a little bit of Spanish, but I can't speak it. If that makes sense. Like, if you're saying something to me, I'll pick up on what you're saying. I took 3 years of Spanish in school. Like, my ex-wife's family was all Spanish, and they spoke it. My current wife's family is Spanish. They all speak it. Like,
I've picked up... So you have a type.
Dude, Tot's got a type.
I say Todd likes that Latin blood.
Yo.
It's
the taste of the world, dude.
Dude, taste of the world, dude, but one specific region. He is just very locked on. Oh man.
So I ordered like 4 meals from this place, and then the baby was born. And then we got like a celebratory menu, and they were like, you get your choice of like different things. Since you have a baby, we're not going to serve you alcohol. So you get sparkling cider instead of like a little cup of fucking diet soda from the dollar store across the street. But then like you get like prime rib or like all these different like things that they made that were like specialty stuff. And it was all trash. I was like, I was so excited. And then I was like, oh, man. Like, I got a filet mignon, and it literally came out, was like this fucking big. And I was like, oh, dude.
Depressing.
Dude, yeah.
I would have had a better celebratory meal from Burger King, to be honest.
My celebratory meal was eating food, because I didn't do that for like the first 28 hours. I drank I peed so much in the hospital. Well, we were in the hospital because natural birth, they want you to stay for 48 hours in the hospital that we went to. So we could have left the day after, but Hannah wasn't comfortable, so she wanted to stick around for a little bit. It was cool with me. I wanted to get the fuck home, but it's okay. And they were also like, the second night is like the witching hour. So your baby cries a lot. They're a lot more awake. They have a lot more energy. All this shit. I was just tired. I still am tired. Like I said, hot take, fatherhood sucks dick. I'll tell you why. Because the hospital food was too good. Nothing lives up to the expectations of life after you've had a really good pot pie from the hospital. It actually doesn't suck. It's super great. It's awesome. It's a lovely time. I am constantly crying over everything. I cried cutting my grass yesterday, just for the record. I was listening to a song, and I was like, oh man, I'd love to play this song for Ellie sometime. And then I was like, what if she hates my music? What if she hears me play music, and she thinks that I'm really good and tells me she's proud of me? And I fucking lost it, bro. I was like, as I fucking cut the grass, and I'm sure my neighbor heard me sing crying because I was singing the song as I'm crying. And so like I'm sure my neighbor heard me like sing crying, and he was like, what the fuck is wrong with that dude? Because I'm just like, ah! Like it was bad, but it's a lot of crying, a lot of getting emotional at random times, and then a lot of like really visceral thoughts of violence. Like just straight up, somebody pulled too close to my car the other day, and I was like, I will get out at this next stoplight, kick your driver's side window in, and drag your throat across the broken glass. And then when the officer gets there, I'll be like, it was an accident, sir. And that thought happened because they got too close to my car. I was like, I'll fucking murder this person. Straight up.
That's not a bad thing.
Yes, oh, it is.
Oh, it's 100%.
I have those thoughts on a daily basis, though.
Yeah, but you're not a kid out there somewhere.
So you either have a kid out there somewhere or you've got problems.
If you don't have a child, that makes you a psychopath. Both of those
situations equally as likely.
Well, look, so this is the thing. I think that, because I definitely have thoughts of like, I'll fucking kill so-and-so. Like, this dumb motherfucker behind me, I'll kill him. But I don't actually feel that way. Like you think like, oh, something bad should happen to that person who cut me off in traffic. No. What I mean is I will physically take their life in my hands and throw it down a toilet. I will murder someone without a shadow of a doubt.
Triggered so much about your fucking cat just giving itself the most like full bath I've ever seen a cat give themselves before. This cat has just been going ham on itself for like literally since as soon as the intro ended.
Look how straight that leg is.
That's the violence that dads have. Todd is so dadded up, dude. He wants to kill your cat, dude. And not like in a good sexual way. Like, he wants to murder your pet.
I didn't say that. I'm just saying my ADD's been triggered. Like,
that was
and it's putting on a show too. Like, it put the leg out and then like fucking one log lick all the way down. It's
still out, bro. It is still just fucking, what the fuck, bro?
She's had a bad week.
All the way up. She's had a bad week. Yeah, because you're giving her fucking ringworm. Can we discuss that? How does a grown man get ringworm? Just that is a child's disease.
No. Okay, so fun fact. I get not really fun fact. Depressing fact. Guinea pigs are like the largest carrier of ringworm, okay?
Yep.
My girlfriend's roommate babysat a couple of guinea pigs for a month. So she would interact with the guinea pigs, then go interact with Chanel. Then Chanel came here, interacted with us, and that's how that happened. Because ringworm gets passed on by physical contact. It's not like, oh, it touches the surface, you touch the surface, you got it. No. She was fucking
the guinea pigs.
No, it would, oh my god, no. They would hold the guinea pigs, physical touch. They would go to Chanel, pet, physical touch. Chanel would come to me, physical touch. Boom.
Okay, and also, she was fucking the guinea pig.
I think Murr
was trying to test that theory, like what two buttholes sound like when they're pressed together.
Bro.
He had Chanel one night. What did it sound like?
That's why her hair is so much longer right now, dude.
What did it sound like?
Yo, he said he had immediately ringworm.
You don't immediately deny that. Dude,
look at his face. He's actually closing his eyes to savor the memory, is what he's doing.
He's not even indulging you, dude.
Because you already indulged yourself, dude.
I got a question. Do you want it to go box? Because, like, you get to take this home with you. Like,
ooh. Okay. I appreciate that, dude. That was nice. Does it come with complimentary ringworm, or do I have to fuck a guinea pig to get that? That's why Chanel's got long hair, because he was like, you know what? You gave me some joy. I'll give you some joy back. You can have your hair back and be a normal kid.
No, she's going to get her hair cut in a couple weeks.
I feel that. I gotta take Pumpkin to get her hair cut too.
That guy's dripping
his ass tattoo. Pumpkin.
Pumpkin. P-U-N-K-I-N.
Yeah,
Punkin.
Not Pumpkin. No, Pumpkin.
That's a story. When me and Melina first met, it was like our third or fourth date. I went to like meet up with her, and she was at the dog groomer picking up Pumpkin. I mean, we took her back, like we took her out to the park and went to the dog park, hung out and stuff. So I asked her, and I was like, why did you call her Pumpkin instead of Pumpkin? And she's like, well, We got her around like Halloween time, and she's white, so we thought like basic white girl, pumpkin spice, all that stuff. Plus, she's a punk ass bitch. I was like, oh, okay.
She be punk.
Okay, yeah, makes
she be makes pumpkin sense. On you guys.
Okay, I have a question. So she had pumpkin. You had Russ.
No, she you had pumpkin.
Got us together.
I didn't have a dog, so I work for Healthy Paws Pet Insurance. For those of y'all that don't know, we deal Shout with out. All this shit. Nah, dude, fuck that. Fuck them. Fucking fuck them, dude. No, not Healthy Paws.
I hit something tomorrow and he's like, y'all, I got fired, dude.
I'm gonna add Healthy Paws in the description,
fired, bro. Dude,
I got.
Do it.
I got until next week, dog. Next Sunday is when this bitch drops. It gives me a week of as much overtime as I can sign up for.
Which program? There you go.
So, but I don't work directly for Healthy Paws. So that's the thing. Healthy Paws themselves as a company is good. Fuck the people that I work for that make me do work for Healthy Paws.
Nice.
So, we were in a call center, and our like call center building was shared with people who were working for United Healthcare. And this dude had just moved here, got a dog for his daughter, and ended up having to move out of the apartment he initially moved into. His new apartment wouldn't allow pets, so he needed somebody to take the dog. He didn't want to take it to a shelter. So he sent pictures to like our boss, thinking like, oh, pet health insurance, they're going to love animals. So this will be his best chance to go to a good home. And I was like, yeah, man, I'll take him. I sent pictures of him to Melina, and I was like, what do you think of this dog? And she's like, oh, he's cute. And I said, no, like, do you want him? And she's like, what? I said, yeah, it's a free dog. Like, do you want this dog or not? And she's like, if you bring him home, you're never like making him leave. And I was like, but we'll see about that. So now we have Russ, and I make jokes on the daily about how we're going to get rid of him because he's a fucking asshole. But we still have him. So, no. Pumpkin was Melina's coming into the relationship. She gave, like, she's my stepdog.
So your stepdogger?
Yeah, stepdogger. and then Russ is ours.
Russ is a great musician.
Get fucked.
You know, I keep hearing that, but I've never.
He is fucking not, bro. Charming cobras, bro. Fuck
no,
him.
I agree. I hate Russ.
I'm just straight kidding. Up. He's super talented, dude.
No,
we had to make this even worse. I don't know if I've told you guys this yet or not. I'm sure you can piece it together. I know I've told at least Nick. But Russ, when we took him to the vet for the first time and like to register him with the city and everything, you have to give them like what their name is.
You have to register your dog.
Yeah, you have to register the dog so they can keep track of the like vaccine records and everything. So, you can have them in like apartments city, and stuff.
Yeah. That's regulation. Like
yeah, dude.
That's a HIPAA violation.
Yeah, pretty much. But we had to write down his name on the paperwork, right? And fucking Russ's actual, so we call him Russ, but his name on paper is Russet Potato. Because I'm Mr. Tater Tots and he's the Russet Potato.
I appreciate that a lot, actually.
Hell yeah, dude.
Russet Potato.
Never mind, that's a mean joke. I feel
how
like
did my, how did Miles get his name?
Actually, his name was Miles when I adopted him, but that is the name of the protagonist from my favorite book, or one of my favorite books. And so I was like, this is my dog.
He's just a real big fan of the secondary main character, the secondary character in Sonic the Hedgehog, actually.
Yes, that's actually true. Nah, he was just chilling. I went to the shelter, and he was like, chilling. Like all the other dogs were like, wah 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 wah, and he was like, I'm sad. And I was like, I'll free you. But he didn't make any noise. He doesn't bark regularly. Like, he still to this day doesn't bark. He's maybe barked 30 times in the 4 years we've had him. Almost 5 years. He's a great dog. I don't know who the fuck gave him up. But if you ever watch this, you're a piece of shit.
I ever told you about...
I mean, aren't you thankful for it?
Huh?
Aren't you thankful for it?
Oh, yeah, I am thankful for... I am thankful for them giving up Miles. But you gave up a great dog, you piece of shit. I hope that your life sucks because you deserve to get fucked.
But he is a great dog. Oh,
but what if you give him a better life right now than what that person could have
done? I am, because I'm better than them in every possible way.
Yeah, but at least they acknowledged it instead of keeping him and, like, abusing him, right?
They didn't acknowledge it and keep him in. They literally left him in their yard and moved away.
Oh, okay.
And that, the neighbor was like, yo, this dog is, like, he doesn't like the rain, and I think it's because he was left in the yard and it was raining. And, like, I just think of all the past little puppy traumas that he had. It breaks my heart.
That's sad.
It is sad. Rez is just sitting there like, you are fucking dumb, bro. Rez knows how much I love my dog.
What was your blind dog story, Mer?
Oh, so have I told you all that I adopted a blind dog before?
No.
And didn't know he was blind?
No.
Okay, so I was like, this was like my freshman year of college. And I had, like, an hour lunch, like, between classes and everything. And so, like, there was a shelter, like, right beside the campus. And so, like, me and a couple of the friends that I had classes with were like, hey, let's go to the shelter. Look at cute-ass puppies. Like, damn. And so we went, and, like, he was a miniature schnauzer. And he was kind of like Miles was. He was, like, sitting in the back all by himself, just kind of sitting there, like, all scared and everything. I was like, that's the one I want. I'm buying a dog. And so, like, I bought the dog, and, like, I couldn't pick him up for a week because I gave him all the shots and everything. And it's like, I told my mom, and she was like, you're not bringing that fucking dog home. So he stayed at Cheyenne's for a little while. But, like, anyway, we got him home. He was all scruffy and everything. And I noticed that, like, he walked slow, and I was like, oh, well, he's just an old dog. He kind of would, like, mosey, like, kind of bump into stuff every now and again. And I was like, damn, that's just because his hair was, like, all in his eyes. So I went and got him a haircut at the PetSmart I worked at the time. And took him home and, like, looked in his eyes for, like, the fucking first time ever. And I was like, these things cloudy as fuck. You're blind. And sure enough, like, this motherfucker, like, I took him to the vet. And they were like, yeah, no, he's got cataracts. This dog is, like, almost completely blind. And I was like, oh, shit. So that made me love him even more. But, like, he was very good about his surroundings. Like, you put him in a place for, you know, a couple hours or so, he knew where the fuck he was at. Like, he had adjusted very well. But he didn't like being alone at all. Like, he knew when you left him alone, and I guess that past traumas and whatnot and everything.
Well, I mean, he can't fucking see anything.
Right.
He doesn't know where shit's at.
But the one story that always... I'd be scared too if I was left alone. Yeah, exactly. But the one story that always gets people is... I took him to my friend's house one time, and we were all chilling with him and everything, and, like, he was just hanging out and everything. And one of my friends was like, so is he really blind? And I was like, no, like, he's actually blind, like, cannot see anything. And my friend goes, just starts punching him, like, with an inch of his face. And, like, he doesn't even fucking flinch. And he's like, damn, this dog really is blind. And I'm like, you had to test that theory yourself.
Jeez. That's great.
What if the dog, like, inched forward? Then you would have been the dickhead that punched a blind dog.
Well, funny story.
Alabaster punched a dog.
So, my sister, my older sister had this friend who had a dog named Whoosh. Because she was like a sweet little... like, super cute little, growly little, like, long-haired, like, Shar-Pei-looking dog. You know what I'm talking about?
Like,
I don't... Shar-Pei?
Yeah, the ones that you put in your purse.
Yeah. Like a little Yorkie. but like a long-haired Yorkie.
Yeah.
I said Shar-Pei because like that just made me think of the long-haired dog. Rez knows what I'm talking, like the mop bucket looking dogs. But her name was Whoosh.
Extra skin dogs, dude.
Her name was Whoosh.
I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know, dude. I don't know dog breeds. Hit that Google.
I did. Shar-Peis have. I used to have a German Shepherd Shar-Pei mix.
They're the wrinkly dogs.
Yeah.
So Whoosh hated me for a long time. And then she hated me for another long time afterwards. But I was hanging out with my sister, and I was like doing this thing where I was like playing with Whoosh, and I was like swinging my arms back and forth like this, like trying to get her. But she's super small, and so I was like doing it like low to the ground. And she was like jumping at me and then jumping backwards, and that's what we were doing. And it was like perfectly timed, and it was like a dance, you know. So my sister and her friend, the owner of the dog, are just sitting there talking, and she's like, "You better not hit my dog." And I was like, "I'm not gonna hit you." Bap, and just fucking stuck that dog, dude. And I felt so bad. Immediately, I was like, "Oh shit!" No, she was shocked. She was like she was one of those like underbite, like dogs or whatever. And then she had a perfect smile after that. She was like, and so I think I gave her like a realignment. But her dog mom was like, "What did you just do?" And I was like, "Look, I did not mean to punch your dog.
That'll be $40.
And she was like, "I can't believe you punched my fucking dog." And she was like, "You're never allowed to see Whoosh ever again." And Whoosh fucking loved me for a long time. But after that punch, dude, like I said, she hated me for a good bit. And then we were best friends. And then I fucking hit her in the face, dude. And she did not like that. She was a little growly gremlin after that. But then she came back around.
And you punched her again.
And then I punched her again, this time on purpose, just to fix that jaw. We here at the Terms of Engagement podcast do not condone animal violence in any way, shape, or form. But it was an accident. I felt so bad. Like, I genuinely, like, I fucking, because I, you know, she was a small dog. I was just, like, swinging my arms back and forth, being funny, and looked up and just, bah! And I felt so bad. She didn't yelp or anything. She just looked fucking shocked and was like, ran back over just to hurt. Her mom. Yeah, she was like, "I thought we were friends, you piece of shit." And then it was even funnier as her husband was like 6'7". And he was like, "Yo, I heard you punched my fucking dog." And I was like, not on purpose, but like, you know. And he was like, "If you ever get a dog, I'm going to punch it." So the day I got Miles, I was really scouting the area as I left the pound, because I was just waiting for this dude to drop out of a SWAT plane and be like, "Gotcha, bitch," and fucking punch my dog and then like fly away and be like, "We're even." Fucking, it was.
Just comes fucking running.
But see, he didn't do it when Miles was there, but he did show up at the hospital this past week. So Ellie got stuck. Oh. and that's when I killed him.
That's why she looked like that. Fucking
Let me explain something to you. And I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I will drive to your house and fucking kill you. So you're sorry, and I accept your apology. Thank you.
I haven't seen any more like recent pictures of Ellie.
Because of shit like that, and you never will. I can't fucking trust you guys.
Oh god.
You've been cute in all the pictures I've seen ever. My cousin had a baby recently, and I've never been more scared looking at a baby.
Fuck, dude. What happened?
I don't know, dude. This baby, like, first of all, its face is wrinkly, which is real weird. Like, I don't know. But he's got, like...
Benjamin Button?
No, I don't know.
Rez just fucking
Benjamin Button.
That's a good way to describe it, though. I mean,
don't dox the baby right now.
Just I'm not doxing the baby. I'm gonna send a picture of the baby to you guys.
Yo, did Ophelia have a cone head?
For a little bit, yeah.
Okay, yeah, because Ellie came out as a cone head, and I was like, what the fuck is this ancient alien thing? And,
it must have used the tool to help get her out.
No. I did watch. We're not going to talk about that. just
I came out with a flat head.
That's why. Explains a lot. But no, she came out super fast, and so they were like, oh, it'll be fine, and literally in, like, 5 minutes, her head was, like, normal. But bro, when you look and you see a cone head baby, you're like, fucking aliens got me. Fucking aliens. Aliens did this.
You it's got real something weird. To tell and, me?
Like, the stuff you got to, like, pay attention to?
You've been telling me you don't believe in aliens at all. What is this?
What's that game that Norman Reedus was just in?
Death Stranding.
Yeah, Death Stranding.
What was that, dude? That
picture you just sent, that baby looks like the little thing in the tube that he's got.
Hold on. Wait, you sent it? Hold on. Let's all have a quick look see.
Don't pull it up on the recording part of your screen.
It looked like one of them little. That's what I'm saying. Like the.
It looked like one of them little.
Oh shit! Merge talking like the rest of Nick's family.
Oh, it looked like one of them baby dolls in the cup. No, I tell you. Bro, that baby.
Put him in a cup of noo right there.
Honestly, dude, that baby. Looks suspicious.
He already looks like he's scheming something.
He looks like the guy who owns the company on The Simpsons, bro. Yes, dude.
Mr. Burns?
Oh, God.
Dude. Yeah, Mr. Burns.
He's even, he's side-eyeing, too, man.
Bro, wow. He looks like he's gonna grow up to be Mr. Evil. Or Dr. Evil, I'm sorry.
Yo, that baby got some long-ass legs, too, bro. Like,
he's gonna be a hooper.
Bro, that baby might not even need to be a hooper, dude. That baby might be the hoop. That's a 10-foot child right there. He's just gonna stand like this and let his friends throw the ball at him. It's fucking terrifying, dude.
Oh, man.
They should have fucking put that shit back in there.
Woo. But yeah, dude, they're like...
Alright, so...
As far as the head goes...
Sorry, oh, no, go ahead. Yeah. Talk. No. Say with the head, go ahead.
So she came out with a little bit of a cone head, like for the first day. It was a little like misshapen. And then you have to pay attention to, so like tummy time, right? You got to start, you got a little bit before you get there, but like you got to start. Okay, cool. But like, so once you do, like, I don't know what, like, to look for or whatever, but we took her to the doctor, and he was like, you guys are doing pretty good, but, like, do more tummy time, because right now it looks like you're laying her on her back a lot. I was like, what do you mean? And he's like, well, you see back here, and he turned her, and, like, the back of her head was flattening out.
It's torticollis.
And he's like, yeah, okay, yeah. Cool. There's been some questionable things that have happened. Like, Melina came home, and I don't know if this is something we can talk about on YouTube or not, but we're going to talk about it. Melina came home from taking, I had to work one day, and she was, like, talking to the doctor, and she came back, and she was like, yeah, so the doctor told us that we need to start stretching her labia. And I was like, the fuck did he just say about my daughter? What? What the fuck does that even mean? And I still to this day.
Like, was it like her doctor? No. I know that's not a lot better, but at least it's a little better.
No. You better not have been talking about Melina, because then me, Melina, and the doctor are about to have some problems.
Oh yeah, I don't know about that.
So what else?
Yeah. What? So I don't. I still don't know what the fuck that's about. But like, yeah, dude, he's been. It's been real weird. Like some of the stuff that he's like telling us to do, I just don't understand. But
this guy.
Is he like that kid that pretended to be a doctor for a few years?
Dude, yeah, is he like that kid in Florida who wasn't really a doctor but accepted patients?
And like, he performed successful surgeries too. That's the amazing thing.
Right. He pulled, ain't that hard.
He pulled a whole whole Frank Abagnale Jr.
Damn.
Catch him if you can.
But yeah, dude, I don't know. It's been a weird process. There's a lot of things that I've started like judging people about, like now that I know what cradle cap is. Have you heard of that? So if you don't like wash or clean the baby's head enough, like it'll get some thing and it's like hair will start to fall out and come off. For the longest time, I was like, I think it'd be really cute for my baby to be bald, because like bald babies are cute. And so
are they?
Then I found some of them are. Yeah, I was a cute baby and I was bald. So,
look how that
I'm sitting
out.
Here. Now I'm fucking hot.
You're damn fucking right, dude. Oh, damn.
Hot tot.
Dude, hottie totty, bro. Both you and Rez are looking good today.
All right.
Dude, I missed y'all, boys.
Let's simmer down a little bit, all right? So, anyway, dude. But what I'm saying here is I now judge people. If I see people with babies and their babies don't have hair, I'm like, haha, look at you shitty ass parents not taking care of your kid right because their fucking hair fell out. You suck at this. Look at my baby with a head full of hair because I'm a good dad and you're fucking not.
It Fuck looks you. Like Caillou head ass bitch. Tommy Pickles, bitch.
Yeah, Tommy Pickles ass motherfucker.
Okay, hold on. I have a question.
I'll send pictures of Ellie in a couple months then. No, I'm just kidding. She's actually got a lot of hair. She's got like a little baby mullet. It's super cute.
She does have a lot of hair already. That when you first sent pictures, I was like, wow, the baby's already got a good bit of hair. That's nice.
Yep.
If Ophelia wasn't sleeping right now, I'd say we should do baby stream.
Fuck no, dude. I'm not putting my baby on here for people to see.
Put your babies on the sticks.
That's why I haven't posted any pictures, man.
The comments will be Mamba just fucking clowning on Ellie.
Dude, I honestly hate to have to kill the Sin Squad. So we're going to avoid that at all costs. Because nobody can clown my baby. She's too fucking cute. She's too cute.
All right, so serious question.
Yeah.
How do you think parents feel when like this baby comes out, you know, because like they take, you get to hold the baby for a minute and then they take in, like go clean the baby and everything, all that, right?
Eh. For the most part.
Yeah, for the most part. And then you get the baby back and everything, take it. Like, so after that first period where they clean it, get it swallowed, everything, bring it back to you, like, what if you're like looking at your baby for a little bit and like, it's just like, this is an ugly ass baby. Like you watch your kid grow up and know it's ugly. Like, do parents unconditionally find their babies adorable? Or, like, do parents recognize, like, damn, I got an ugly-ass kid?
What did your parents tell you? I'm just kidding.
I was an adorable-ass baby.
Dude, you were. You were a cute little kid, dude. You're a cute kid. God, I'm surprised you didn't get picked off, bro.
I was saying, again. First one in the van, last one out.
Dude, that's what I'm saying, bro. You were all team first draft for the pedophiles, dude. That's what they were fucking.
Adoption.
Dude, they were trying to surprise adopt the fuck out of that boy.
Every year at Halloween, he's like, why do I need to go out for candy?
I get so much on a daily basis, so I don't need to go out.
Oh my God. No, I'll be honest with you, dude. Like, my first thought when I saw Ellie was like, oh my God, this is a beautiful child. And I actually looked at pictures of other babies because Instagram knew that I had just had a kid, and I was like completely unbiased trying to decide if I had an ugly baby what I would do. And then when I saw her, I was like, thank God. Whew. Thank God. Like, yeah. 'Cause I saw some other babies, and there's some babies on Instagram that are fucked up, dude. Ty had a cute ass kid too. Ty was lucky. Ophelia was cute as fuck. Still is cute as fuck. Like, we got some cute ass babies, but bro, I've seen some fucking, some demon spawns, dude.
Well, and I feel like if you have a cute baby, like, you're in the 1%, because I feel like most babies are like alien spawns. Like,
yeah. Most of them are ugly.
Well, there's a lot of factors that go into it, you know. Did you carry full term? Like, how healthy were you during the pregnancy and everything like that?
Well, I'll say there.
There's a lot of factors to it. I personally believe that, yes, if you have an ugly kid, there is a point in time where you would acknowledge it and you would know that your kid is ugly. Nick, I don't know if you feel this way, but I know if Ophelia gets to be like 6-7 years old and she's a goofy looking little motherfucker, like, I'm not going to say nothing to her, but I'll be clowning with Melina. Like,
like, yo, we got,
look at how, like, she's fucking funny looking, dude. Look at this fucking picture. She got like the lazy eye kicking in and shit. Like, what the fuck happened? You know what I mean? Like, you would acknowledge it eventually. But regardless of if you have a cute kid or not, and I feel like it's hard to give that opinion, because Ellie was super cute whenever, like, in the pictures that I've seen of her, and then Ophelia's to me is fucking perfect. And that was the very first thought that I had. Like, when she came out, like, she was only like halfway out Melina. Like, all I could see was her head, and I was like, oh my God, she's amazing. So
I agree.
It's tough to make that judgment call as the proud dad of an actually cute kid.
Yeah, I don't like. So if my baby was unsymmetrical, I would probably be. It'd probably be easier for me. But like, she's got a good profile. She's got my fucking nose, and I mean, it's a pretty good nose. Like, she's got my ears. They're pretty good ears. But the more she, like, moves and, like, makes faces and stuff, the more I see Hannah. So I'm like, fuck yeah, we're covered. We're good. As long as she doesn't look like this piece of shit, I'm solid. Like, but, you know, I was a cute-ass kid, too, though. Like, my baby pictures, I was cute as fuck. I don't know what happened, but I was cute as fuck. So that's my fear, right, is that, like Tot said, like, we get to around 7 years old, and I'm like, you look goofy as fuck. But I'll honestly, dude, I'll just raise her to be talented. Like, if she's
make
dude,
up
she's,
for it,
yeah, dude. If she's ugly, she's gonna be smart as fuck. Like, she's gonna do some good shit.
I started thinking about stuff. Like, we were driving. I had two things here, and I forget one of them. But like, you were talking about. So you were talking about, like, raising her talented and stuff. Talking about raising the baby and raising the kid. Like, I had this thought yesterday. So we went to a birthday party for one of Melina's cousins. And we drove. We were all over Arizona. Like, fucking, there was so many places we went far away from home. And on our way back, we actually drove through, like, where we used to live. Just as, like, a trip down memory lane. And I used to live right in downtown Phoenix. Or, well, Tempe, where Arizona State University is, and this girl comes walking like around the corner, and she just gave off this air of somebody from a small town who wanted to move to a big town, and like, she was dressed way nicer than anybody who's actually from where she was. Mm-hmm. And she just like bougie, like she thought she was fucking cool, small town girl made it to the big city kind of thing. And I was like, I'm gonna raise Ophelia to be around this type of environment so much so that way when she's like 13, 14, 15, whatever, goes on like a field trip with the school or go somewhere and they go to like a big city, she'll never fall for some dude being like, oh, we're going to go to the big city and we're going to make it big. And like, I had this whole thing. I'm like, look, nah, dude, fuck that. You ain't moving away because somebody's enticing you to go to some city just because it's all big and busy and shit.
This is such a niche worry, dude. Like, I don't want some talent producer coming around my daughter, promising her the moon, telling her she's going to be a saw on the silver screen.
Shit Dynasty!
Yes, dude.
Oh, I had, like, God, this bro. Whole fucking
You mean Shady Nasties?
No.
Dude, what's funny is, like, I can promise you, like, Calabaster and I both have probably a long list of people we know that fit that exact category.
Big facts.
Yep. I know people that are like that, but that's my thing is, like, I want to raise her in a way, like, that's not new. Like, I want to raise her in a way where she's not going to be, like, something, like, a big part of her life or a big change in her life isn't going to be caused because somebody else had this idea, like, with her and for her, and she went along with it. Like, you're going to know everything about everything, so that way when it comes down to making a decision, you're going to do it for yourself, or you ain't going to do it for nobody.
So, I mean,
all of your hopes and dreams are here.
No, if she wants to move, like, that's fine. But I don't want her to, like, go, like, you know what
you're,
I mean?
You're
like,
not,
like,
you're
like,
not
oh,
wanting,
yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking Johnny wants to move to L.A. to be a music star.
You're not wanting something. That to be her first experience and her fall for it. Like,
he's
you're wanting
names
to just.
To it. He's like, all these yeah. Johnny, she's going to say something about, yeah, Johnny in my class. You're going to be like, don't you talk to that kid. Don't you talk to
exactly.
him.
Talk
Johnny,
Johnny.
No Johnny's allowed.
I'm about to go. Little Johnny, dude.
But I say you're wanting to do what so many parents fall short of, regardless of situation, the shortcoming of not making sure your child is well versed in this and that, or whether they know, like, hey, this is also out there. Because, like, coming from a small town, it's like, no, you stay in the small town, you have the same friends, you do the same job, you work at this factory with all your friends, and that's not it. Like, even if you come back to your small town, that's perfectly fine. But get out and experience the world a little bit so you have that, like, mental note of, like, this is more out there.
Yeah, exactly. Because, like, the whole point of having children, like, in the world is they're going to take over. You know, like, we're all going to die. They're going to be the next line. And if I don't raise you in a way that's going to get you more experience than what I had, then I'm failing you as your dad and not setting you up for what your life is supposed to be. Your life is supposed to be more experienced, more full than mine, because I lived mine to the fullest extent that I could, and that's more than what my parents were able to do. So I'm building on that to give you a better starting off point than what I had, so you can get further.
Well, there's this, I can't remember, like, it verbatim, but there's this phrase that is, hard times make hard men make easy times make soft men make hard times. So while the end result should be the betterment of our children, I want to make sure there's still, like, a monochrome of struggle. Because if it's too easy, then my grandkids are going to have a shitty time. Because that's the world that we've inherited at this point. And no offense, Murd, but, like, the generation below you, I don't know why I said no offense to you because it's not you, but, like, the generation of kids below you are, like, the soft kid generation.
Corvette.
Yeah.
Yeah, the TikTok generation.
Well, I mean, you said no offense to Murr because he's, like, the evolutionary gap between us two.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you probably, dude, look, let's be honest, dude, if you were a less cool person, you would be one of the TikTok kids, dude. If you were a less smart individual, if you had worse parents, you would be a TikTok kid. But
if I didn't have all these wrinkles.
Yeah, dude, if you were smooth brained.
So can I, going along with this, because this is, like, so Calabaster will appreciate this. Can I read an Alan Watts quote to y'all that kind of, like, fits on this? Because this is also, like, what I'm considering partially, like, for my next tattoo. So
under the Android,
you know, it might be under the Android. I'm not necessarily sure where
Androids,
it's going to be.
While you're looking that up, because we were mentioning Rezzy's butt tattoo in the last one, and Rez is wearing a short sleeve shirt, will you show the crowd your butt tattoo?
Yeah, show us the butt tattoo.
Just show us.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
think my having some issues with my internet. What? What's going on?
You know what's I said. Let us see.
I genuinely thought you guys were saying that he had a tattoo.
Dude, we can see it. I can see the cheeks.
Like
bro.
On his butt.
I can see them cheeks.
Yes, sir.
There's some booty right there.
Yes, sir, dude.
Oh. It's not nudity, it's art.
It's not nudity. She's wearing a
stuff. Assless chaps.
she's wearing stuff.
It looks like a Venom symbiote all up on her body except for on them cheekies.
Oh. Yo, did you see they're doing a like a fuck, what is it? It's a something with a multiverse. It might be a what if thing. But they're doing a comic with a Miles Morales symbiote.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Dude, it looks sick. It's his suit is orange and black. Bro. It's fucking dope.
That'd be Oh, dude. What's your Alan Watts quote? And then I have a cool little aside story talking about the multiverse.
Oh, so this isn't exactly the part that I'm like thinking about, but like this is the second half of it. Or I'd say really the third part of it. But it's absolutely stupid to spend your time doing things you don't like and to teach our children to follow in the same track. See, what we're doing is we're bringing up children and educating them to live the same sort of lives we're living, in order that they may justify themselves and find satisfaction in life by bringing up their children to bring up their children to do the same thing. So it's all rich and no vomit. It never gets there. Therefore, it is so important to consider this question, what do I desire? And I think that hits so hard because it's like, if you don't fucking know what you're doing with your life, how are you going to teach your child to say, hey, you're able to do this, you're able to go these places, and therefore they'll never learn, their kids will never learn, it's all wretch and no vomit. It never gets there.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think it is very important. I think that that's one of the big things that I worry about, and I was actually talking to my dad about this yesterday, is like, you know, just in terms of like the scope of religion, what choices I'm going to be able to make to help Ellie make the best choices for herself and for her happiness. And then like her goals, whatever it is that she wants to do, like being there to facilitate those things, because one of the biggest shortcomings that I feel like my parents had was, while they knew that I was a talented person, they weren't apt to help me pursue my passions. A lot of the time it was, you're doing something wrong. Like, I remember for a long time my dad was like, you need to get a real job. Like, I was like serving tables and playing music, and he was like, you need to get a real job instead of do this like serve tables and play music type thing. And so, you know, like that stings. Like, this is what I'm trying to make my real job. And yeah. I don't want to be that type of person. I don't want to raise Ellie that she has to work a 9-to-5. And if she does, and if that's what makes her happy, that's great. But I want her to understand that there's a lot of different things that you can do. And that's one of the reasons that I want to introduce her to comic books, is so she knows that there's a lot of different things you can do. And speaking of comic books, as the segue, I've been getting a lot more like geared towards girls comics, and like these little, you know, like the little golden books, like with the like golden mm-hmm. spine. So yeah. There's like this like little like superhero versions of those. So I got our Wonder Woman and a Black Widow book, and I went to the comic book store yesterday to pick these things up, and I picked up Secret Wars because it's like a multiversal epic. It's fucking sick. The whole Jonathan Hickman Avengers, New Avengers, and then Secret Wars run is insane. It is maybe the best story in all of comic book history ever, just for the record. If you don't fucking know anything about comics, read it. It's so
isn't that
good.
What they're like setting up for right now in the MCU?
I don't know.
I keep seeing a lot of speculation about it.
But if it is, that would be sick. But the guy at the comic book store was like, what you been doing, man? You haven't been streaming in a while. And I was like, yeah, I actually had a little girl. And he was like, oh my God, yeah, if there's any reason not to stream, it's that. And I was like, well, she's only been alive for 9 days, so the other 2 months, I don't really have an excuse for. But he was like, hey, it's all good. Like, you'll get back into it.
I like how you got your comic book guy hooked on it.
He was an editor. He did editing, and I was going to have him do like little clips for me. But his prices, not that they were too high, they were perfectly justified for what it is that he was able to do. I was just not in a position making, because when I put money into the stream, most of the time it comes directly from the stream. So I wasn't in a position to pay what he deserved, and I wasn't going to do that to him. I wasn't going to tell him to fucking work for less than he was worth.
Yeah.
But he was a cool dude, and he came by the stream quite a few times. So he knew that I streamed, and I guess he just hadn't seen me live in a while. But he was like, "Yeah, you know, well, like, is that why you're getting this?" And like, he held up my Black Widow book, and I was like, "Yeah." And he was like, "Well, shit, dude, I think I've got some cool posters." And he was like, we gotta give little girls cool role models and stuff. And he gave me like 4 posters of like this super artwork of like Elektra from Daredevil, like in a Daredevil suit, like a Jean Grey and a Storm and like Poison Ivy. And then for me, he gave me this like super cool like Captain America, like giant, like all of the Captain Americas. Post, it was sick, but he was just like, "Yeah, man, we gotta have stuff for our little girls to look up to, bro." Like, and I was like,
"That's fucking cool."
I was like, "She could be anything." And so, like, just kind of in line with what you were saying, like, you know, I don't want to teach my daughter that she has to do one specific thing. And even if she hates comic books, I at least want my passion for it and my showing her what is out there and what can be done. I mean, obviously, they're superheroes; she can't do the things that they do. But like the fact that women created that, the fact that like there are artists who are super fucking talented, and bro, like I've never been like a super girl power type of person, but having a little girl fucking changes you, bro. I'm trying to make the future is female, my dogs, and I'm trying to change it up, you know.
Need to get you a girl dad shirt.
Dude, I honestly, I'm about to get a girl dad fucking neck tat, bro. Just fucking right here, dude. Just let the world see it. They're gonna find
Everybody out. Keeps saying stuff about that, like, to me, like, it's gonna be, like, they're like, "Oh, are you ready for being a girl?" Like, talking about when she wants to, like, do makeup on you and stuff when she gets older all of that stuff. I'm like, fuck yeah, dude, like...
I'll be beautiful.
What's the problem with that, man? Fuck off. But... I don't know, like, little girls, everybody's just, like, they really kind of push, like, I've been running into an issue like that with, like, my family and everything a lot. Not so much, like, an issue as much as them just running their mouth. They're like, "Oh, she's going to do that." Like, my dad is a real, like, baseball nerd. And he's like, "Oh, yeah, man, I can't wait until she's old enough. As soon as she's able to, we're putting her in softball." I'm like, "What if she doesn't like softball?" And he's like, "Well, she don't have a choice. Like, she's going like softball." I'm like, "Nah, dad, like you did that with me. You don't get to do that with her. Like, if she likes softball, she likes softball, and that's cool. But like,
I'll say that
it's tough."
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with signing them up for these extracurriculars because that's how they become well versed and whatnot. But if they don't pick it up, then you know, find something else.
I paid $1,200 for your ballet classes. You're going to finish the season out.
Well, yeah.
I don't care if you do 0 recitals. You're going to... That's one thing that I wish that I had had. Because while there are a lot of qualms that I have with the parenting that I had growing up, I was allowed to, like, as much as my dad used to tell me, "I hate quitters." Like, literally, if we were playing a board game and I was losing, he would make me play all the way through to the end. Because he was like, "I fucking hate quitters. Like, we aren't quitters in this house." He never said, "I fucking hate quitters." But he was always like, "I hate a quitter. I hate quitters." And as I got older, that was the one thing that he really let up on. Like, he was like, "All right, just quit. Like, if you don't want to do it, just fucking quit." And I wish that he would have, like, let me, like, not let me, but, like, kind of made me stick with some of the stuff that I was wanting to do. I would have learned how to play guitar, like, 4 years earlier than I did if he wouldn't have just been like, "Yeah, fine, just put it in your closet. You don't ever have to play that again, whatever." Like, it was also because I was a very hard kid to raise, and he was, like, probably sick of struggling to get me to do something. But, like, that's one thing I'm trying to instill in Ellie is that, like, if you start something, if other people are depending on you, you have to finish it. Like, if you are a part of a dance recital and you hate dancing, like...
You're part of a podcast.
Yeah, if you're part of a podcast, you have to be here at 8:30, no matter what happens, no matter how many pairs of panties are on your door. no matter how much ringworm you got from...
Oh, no, you're giving him too much credit on that one. Now people are going to think, oh, he had panties on his door. Oh, yeah.
They were his. they were his panties.
Yeah, they were dirty.
Dude, had a Mur's like, y'all hey, don't understand.
I've picked up your slack the past 2 weeks. Why can't you give me any?
Dude, because I love you. And because, like I said, dude.
We don't like quitters.
We don't like quitters in this house, bro. You think I'm going to quit fucking with you? Nah, man. I got people depending on me to fuck with you. Yeah, look at Chanel in the background. Aggression.
She wanted water.
I could tell, dude. She was like aggressively dehydrated.
I remember going off of Nick's story here. I remember when I quit baseball, my dad said the same shit to me. He's like, I hate quitters. I hate a quitter so much. And he's just yelling at me about it. And I just was quiet, and he's like, are you there? Did you hang up on me? My parents were split up when I was a kid. Every time he yelled at me, he was over the phone. So he's like yelling at me, talking about how much he hates quitters. And I was just like, I was like 9. I was like, well, Dad, I guess that means you hate me. And I hung up on him.
Do you not like that? Or do you just not like me?
I remember the one time I played baseball. It was Little League. Parents got divorced mid-season.
Fun stuff.
Terrible.
Oh, I batted 1,000 rest of the season.
Dude, you should have told them I hate quitters. Fuck it.
You raised me to be an honest player, to always treat the game with respect. Why are you a cheater?
God damn, dude.
And that has been the...
And that was it. That's the end. Dude, did you really bat 1,000 for the rest of the season?
Like, what happened was, like, when I went up to bat, I would do, like, an Albert Pujols thing. For those of you who don't watch baseball, like, Albert Pujols was a player that had a very small strike zone.
What are you saying?
Albert Pujols. P-U-J-O-L-S. Yeah, Albert Pujols.
I thought you said an hour Pujol. I was so confused.
No, go ahead. No, Albert Pujols, and so he was a big power hitter. But like, what he would do was he'd crouch down because your strike zone is essentially from like your knee area to your chest area. Yeah, and so like he would crouch down, make a smaller zone, be harder to strike out. So that's what I'd do. So I'd get walked a lot. But, like, when I did actually hit it, like, I'd get a hit. And so, like, I did pretty well the rest of the season after that.
Hell yeah, dude.
I gave up on baseball because I had to do fall ball with my parents split up living cross country. If I signed up for regular season baseball, I'd leave with, like, 3 or 4 games left in the season. So I had to play fall ball. And where I lived, that was, like, the rainy season. It was always fucking cold. I'm just out there. I was like, this shit sucks. And I quit because I had a coach 1 year, and this motherfucker, talk about a meth head, dude. This motherfucker comes out, and he's fucking gumming at himself, and he's got his fucking kid playing on the team, and this motherfucker's got a broken arm, right? Motherfucker's in a cast, and we're on the last game of the season before, like, the tournaments and everything start, and the other team, he comes up to me, and he's like, so the other team's, saying that we're cheating by not playing all our players in the dugout. I'm like, well, it's your dumbass fault for putting your kid in a fucking cast in the dugout. He should be on the bleachers watching the game with his broken ass arm being as useless as he is with a fucking non-broken arm. Right? So he's like, well, they're saying we gotta play him. And I'm like, we're at bat. How is he gonna play with a broken arm? And sure enough, he's got his fucking kid up there. One hand, he pulled me, benched me from the game to put his kid up under the pretense of saying that we were cheating. I'm like, he's got a cast on. He can't fucking play. And he benched me for it, and I walked out. I was like, that's it, man. Fuck you.
I was about to say, so hold on. That's not so much the dad's fault, because I understand, like, it's Little League. You want your kid to still dress out and everything. That's the other team's coach being a dick, saying, you know what, we'll make this one-arm kid go up, secure the win real quick.
I'll be honest, dude. What that really sounds like to me is that Ty is an ableist. It's not that Ty said, if you have a physical ailment, fuck you. You're useless. I'm just kidding. No, Ty, I feel like that was 1,000% on the dad. Like, I get the other coaches being an asshole, but that is because it's kind of like you can't be humiliated unless you allow somebody to humiliate you. Like, you have to agree with what somebody says about you for it to humiliate you, right? In that same vein, that other coach could not have been an asshole had this dad not been like, yeah, my son should sit in this dugout. And, I mean, if that's the rules, if them's the rules, if everybody in the dugout has to play, them's the rules. Like, he could not have been pushed to that point had he not allowed himself to be. And he was too prideful of a father. He wanted his kid to dress out. He wanted to feel like big bad daddy. And he said, yeah, little broke arm ain't gonna have to take no swings, and we're still gonna get this ring. And you didn't.
I felt like a badass, because I remember the coaches. I don't remember the first name, but I remember him and his kid's last name was Dumas. They told everybody it was pronounced Dumas. So when I walked out on him, I told him, like, I was like, I'm quitting. I'm not doing this. I'm not coming back. And he was like, no, we need you. We need you. I was like, clearly not, because you let your fucking casted up son play. Like, we're bottom of the ninth, down by one, fucking bases loaded, and you're going to pull me from the bench, one of your best hitters, to put your kid who's in a fucking cast up? Like, no, fuck you. And then I was like, that's all right, man. I guess you've just really shown your true colors and lived up to your name. I think your meth dealer's coming, dumbass. And I left, and I was like, oh, dude, I'm such a hard fucking eighth grader right now.
Can we acknowledge Tot getting pulled in that moment might have derailed his MLB career? Because bottom of the ninth, bases loaded, like, for the win, like, going into the postseason, like, that's what heroes are made out of.
Dude, yeah, Tot was, we wouldn't even know Tot had he not gotten pulled that day. Rez would not be wearing that shirt. He might not even have that tattoo.
Because you'd all be wearing my jersey.
Basically.
Mer probably would be, because he likes the dumb sports like baseball.
You would have seen in the news, you'd have seen this mug come across the screen. You'd be like, oh, damn, he watched some baseball this season.
Dude, I would have been like, I'm trying to be a fan.
This guy looks like he'd run a podcast if he wasn't playing baseball.
Yeah, dude. Then we start, like, talking about, we're like, yo, what professional athlete do you think could round out this ensemble? Fucking,
you ever heard of that Felvis dude? Yeah, he's fucking killing.
Got you.
We all start tweeting at him.
I'd just be, like, thirst tweeting him. Be like, yo, dude, I'm trying to fuck you, dude. Like, let me bat 1,000.
All right.
Let me bat 1,000. Dude, it's been a week, y'all. I missed
it.
Dude, we ain't D nothing on the rails, dude. I'm just trying to rail it.